Welcome to Do You Know My Father? One topic that comes up in certain circles is train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And people have belief that this is a promise, and as long as they do what they believe they were supposed to do, that their kids will turn out what they think is right, and that everything will be just wonderful and great, and they'll all be believers. And that's just not true. The word should's not even in the Hebrew. It doesn't literally say train the child in the way he should go. What it does literally say is train a child in the way he goes, like according to his own will. And when he's old, he won't depart from that. Now, that's not a promise either. You can raise your child the best way you can in God's way, and he still might not follow. And you can also raise your child to be the biggest heathen there is, and doesn't mean that they won't turn and repent and end up following God. It's not a promise either way. It's like a sarcastic language when it's written in the original, and it's what it literally reads. It's like sarcasm. He's saying, yeah, go ahead, train your child in the way they go. Let them throw the tantrum at the store and say you're not going to give them McDonald's. And then you do anyway. They get their way when they throw the tantrum. They get their way when they go to McDonald's afterwards. They know that you can't withstand their tantrum. They're going to go their own way. They're going to do it when they're little like that. Then when they get bigger, they can be violent, and they can overpower you, and they're going to do things their way. That's all it means. Train your child in the way they go, according to their own will. And when they're older, they won't depart from that. It's sarcastic language. It's just saying, when you bend the tree, you train it in a certain way. You want the tree to grow straight, symbolic of the right way. Or you want the tree to be bent over and leaning, symbolic of the wrong way. It's hard to train that tree back, is what I'm saying. Is it better to get the child to go the right direction? Yes. Are we obligated to train them? Will we be judged on whether we trained our children in the fear and admonition of God? Yes, we will. But it doesn't mean that they will follow. Just as for the heathen, it doesn't mean they'll follow their own will and do their own thing. They may repent. We're not stuck in this place that we're left with just whatever. So you can't blame it on parents. Yeah, they may have told you the right thing, or they may have told you the wrong thing. We're not perfect parents. None of us are. Which leads to my next point. Let's look at somebody that's better than we are. Let's look at Samuel. And people might not want to think that the prophet Samuel was better than they are, but it says that Samuel never let a word of God drop to the ground. So he always did what God said. And it said, your sons are not like you are, Samuel. When he got old, that's what the people said, because he was the one that judged them, kept them straight, kept them on the straight and narrow. It's good to have that. We need that. But it doesn't make people align with God in their hearts and minds and want to do the right thing. It just means there's somebody there holding the line all the time, and it's good to have that. It's good to have somebody in that lighthouse on the sea, otherwise you crash your boat on the rocks. But you might not appreciate the person in the lighthouse at all and what they're doing. Well, Samuel was like a lighthouse, and he never let a word of God drop to the ground. They said, your sons are not like you are. It wasn't because he didn't tell them. It wasn't because he didn't train them. But they had their own choice. They made up their own mind. Everybody has a choice. A person can say, well, there is no free will. You know, there's Calvinism. Well, when you look up in the Strong's for the word will, It's not in the Hebrew. That's true. But there's thousands of times it's not in the Hebrew. So if that's not your, if the word will isn't there, there's still something there that means the same thing of you making the choice. You get it? When it's not in the Hebrew, it's still not in the Hebrew that many times. So what is it then? Because there's a word to describe it. We just describe it by free will. But you're still making a choice, you see. We can move on to David. He was a man after God's own heart. That's what God said. And except for what happened with Uriah and Bathsheba, it said he did nothing wrong. Except for that, which it was a pretty big one, but he was a man after God's own heart. Did he raise his children? Did he try to train them in the way? Sure, but same thing happened. He had a son that tried to kill him. It wasn't because he didn't love him and train him. It's because he didn't listen and obey. He didn't want to. He had a choice. Everybody's got a choice to follow God or not, to love God or hate him. Then you got Messiah. He did exactly what the Father did. This is someone that has no sin now. No sin at all. And it says that he's called Everlasting Father. Well, if it says Abraham is the father of our faith, and it says before Abraham was, I am. Okay? It says, let me have the glory that I had with you in the beginning. It says, let us make man in our image. It says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Without him, nothing was made. He was already there with the Father in the beginning. That's why it says, let us make man in our image. You don't say that when you're by yourself. You know? And so he taught his disciples. One of them betrayed him. So many times they didn't understand what he's saying. Many left him at one point in his teaching and didn't follow him anymore. Because they had a choice. So here's a teacher, God's own son who had never had sin. And he even tells us that families will be divided. That children would hand their parents over unto death. And that parents would hand their children over to death. Brothers and sisters would too. That's what he said. So this whole idea that our whole family's going to be believers and everybody believes in something that said the devils believe and they tremble. But there's things in Christian circles for sure that, oh, we're all Christians and this is a Christian home and this is a Christian nation. It's just not true. That's not true at all. Then we can go to the perfect Father, God the Father. He said he sowed a vineyard. Did all that he was supposed to do. Said, what more could I do for my vineyard? And it said it got him wild grapes. He wasn't talking about grapes and vineyards. He's talking about us. He said, I made this world and put you in it. And you have rebelled against me. Even my own angels. Many of them have fallen. That's what Satan was. The devil, that's what he was. A musical cherub. And he took a bunch of the angels with him. See? Now they're demons. So, if he can't make everybody love him and obey him and follow him, then how can you? People, I know, don't understand that. They don't see it, and hopefully they see it now. And they see that they've been awful arrogant in thinking that. I used to think this myself. I freely admit that. I used to think that you can, as long as you do this, because that's what people have been trained to believe. We've been trained to believe that that's a promise, that as long as you do the right thing, you know, that's what people think, and they don't understand when their child goes astray. They think I've done what I was supposed to do. Well, let me first say, none of us have done everything we're supposed to do. None of us are perfect parents. We haven't done everything right, but we also haven't done everything wrong. And if you have taught them the right thing and they go astray, it's key for you to know that this is not a promise. Because people tell you, oh, you've done the right thing, they'll come back. That's the generous person. The one that's mean and hateful will tell you, well, you surely didn't do the right thing then. And that don't help, does it? Or you have the Calvinist that says that they weren't one of the elect because they couldn't have been possibly saved, so it's not your fault. They couldn't have possibly been saved. That he didn't die for everybody. Yes, he did. He paid the price for sin. That's everybody, isn't it? Everybody sinned. But not everybody will receive it. Hell's been enlarged. And hell will be dumped in the lake of fire if you look that up. It's been enlarged because of unbelief. People don't believe God and what he said. But it wasn't made for us. It was made for the devil and his demons. Who would have thought that the enemy would be able to pull this off, to deceive people so much that they wouldn't believe the truth? But it's the way it's happened. What are you called to do then? Well, first off, train your children in the fear and admonition of God. Yes, the fear of God. Well, people see, this is another lie that people believe. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. That word for fear there is cowardice. No, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of cowardice. We have not been given a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But it doesn't. The word fear there is not that. See, it's not there. Once again, it says the beginning of wisdom is to fear God and follow his commands. Do we want to be wise today? We should. We should be praying for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It says the fear of God is pure, enduring forever. People say, oh no, perfect love casts out fear. Yeah, once again, the fear of man, it casts out cowardness, it casts out the fear of man, not the fear of God. Really listen to the song, the hymn, Amazing Grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear God. And it was grace that my fears relieved, fear of man. It's not talking about the same kind of fear there. There's a fear of God and a fear of man. The fear of God is good. The fear of man is not. If you have the fear of man, you're going to be a people pleaser. You're going to do everything you can so that you can get along with everybody all the time. And you're going to offend God and you're going to compromise every step of the way. But if you fear God, you don't fear man. You speak the truth and love and you're bold as a lion. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. Not arrogant, bold. There's a difference. So train your children in the fear and admonition of God. It said, by the fear of God, men depart from evil. We could go on with the fear of God, but that's what you need to do. If you don't have it, pray for it. And know that you're leaving the results up to God. You never stop being a parent. This whole they turn 18 thing, don't listen to that. You never stop being a parent. As long as you're alive, you're their parent. And maybe they don't want any relationship with you, but you can pray for them. So keep praying. Doesn't mean they're going to turn. Doesn't mean they won't. But if you believe that they won't turn, then you won't pray for them. And if you don't believe that there's any way that they couldn't stop from turning, you might not pray for them either because you think it's automatic. No, no, no. It's not automatic either way. You're called to train them in a fear and admonition of God. And then you're to pray for them, whether they're walking true or they're not. They need your prayers. They need your guidance. And wherever the relationship's at with them, maybe there is none, you can still pray for them. Don't let your heart be bitter. And being this confusion because of these lies that we've been told, it breaks a lot of people's hearts because they start thinking, well, maybe I didn't do the right thing. Well, none of us have done the right thing all the time. Or they, oh, they'll come back, so I don't need to worry about it. Yeah, you do need to be thinking about it. If they ain't walking true and you love them, hey, you need to be praying for them continually that they will turn. It says that he told his sons, go work in my harvest field. And the one said he would, but he didn't. The other one said that he wouldn't, but later he did. You don't know for sure. Another thing is, all you young people out there that don't have children yet, you need to know the truth. You're never going to be the perfect husband or father. Your wife is never going to be the perfect mother or wife. Everybody does something wrong. Everybody, we're not God, okay? But you need to realize that you're not looking for the perfect person out there. It says not to marry an unbeliever. It doesn't say to marry someone that doesn't have no sin and never has sinned and all that. You're not going to find it. It's not a rainbow road. It's going to be hard work. Now, the two people growing together, that's going to be hard work. So quit looking for that out there. You're not going to find that, and you're not that yourself. But you find that person just like Jacob did. He loved Rachel. And the 7 years that he labored for her was like nothing because he loved her so much. But what did she say? Give me children or I die. And his anger was kindled against her. And he said, listen, am I in the place of God that I have the power to do this? So she got him upset, didn't she? Pushed his buttons. Expected him to do something that she wanted that he didn't have the power to do. How many guys have been there? Look, he loved her. Who do you want to spend that time working with, trying to lead and walk with? She's going to need you, and you're going to need her. There's going to be times when you've got to be there to serve each other throughout your life. There's going to be times when you don't like each other. There's going to be times that you hurt one another. There's going to be times you look at each other and you say, I can't imagine anybody else being with me right now but you. That I can't even think of how there could be anybody else for me but you. You'll have that. You just want the reality. Your kids, it says families will be divided. You're going to have children and you love your children, and the thought of a child that you love that smiles at you all their life and looks like they love you too could hand you over to death, but it could happen. No matter how much you prayed, no matter how much you loved them, no matter how much you trained them, because that scripture is not a promise. Just like when Elijah said, what is Baal sleeping? There is no Baal. It's a false god. He wasn't sleeping. He's mocking and he's being sarcastic. Like Paul when he says, well, pick those out least among you to judge. I say this to your shame. Is there no one among you can judge between his brethren? See, people don't like judging. There's righteous judgment. We have to have that, and it's lacking today. But what's not lacking is unrighteous judgment. Unrighteous judgment is judging according to your own opinions, your own flesh, instead of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Righteous judgment is judging according to the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So, it's sarcastic language, whatever that is. And people have taken that and made it into something else. And it's hurting people. So do the right thing. Leave the results up to God. The person has a choice. They're going to make their own choice no matter what. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. if you're to love your enemies, then you're to love your children when they go astray anyway. You never stop loving them. People act like, oh, they don't love you, and you know you loved your children. You still do. You always will. They'll always be your children as long as you live. But this is another warning right here. Anyone that loves mother or father or son and daughter more than him is not worthy of him. It's idolatry. God's got to be first. Make sure that's the case when you're trying to be your kid's little buddy. You're their parent too, you know. You have to say the hard things to your children, not everybody else's children. Too many people they have full of envy and they want to be in control of everybody else's families. You as a dad are not even being in control. You're to be following God. And you're to be leading your family, but following him the whole time. Are you going to do that perfectly? No. But we're to grow and get better. This is supposed to be short, so it's 20 minutes. And it is shorter than... I have a teaching on this on our website, and it's 2 hours long. So it goes into more detail. So don't be discouraged. When you're praying to God, you're speaking to the one that has all power, has all knowledge, and who is love. He loves them more than you do. Place them in his hands every day. And when you don't remember, don't beat yourself up over it. Just start praying again that day. Love you. Have a good day.